This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. I didn't mean to cut you off earlier, Rafi. You were going to say something. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to point out, you know, that we talked about the traditional way that prosecutors, are supporting the work of the police department, but the DA's office is also doing some non-traditional things. And I know you've spoken about it, had other guests talking about it, but I'd just like to bring it to the audience's attention again, their efforts with respect to the No Dice initiative. So historically, prosecutors are known for what they do in the courtroom. But what the DA's office is doing behind the scenes in meeting rooms, coordinating their efforts with the police department, city leaders, community leaders, and city agencies, is also responsible for the reductions in crime. And really, the No Dice initiative is using data to identify high crime spots, hot spots in the city, and then determining in those hot spots if there are any businesses or quality of life or infrastructure problems that are contributing to those crime hot spots. So by looking at data and identifying those hot spots and then determining if there is a causation between the high crime and some of the infrastructure or businesses in that area, it's allowed the police department and the city to identify those spots, address those spots, and as those spots see the reductions in crime, we're seeing that crime is going down citywide. So one of the areas that the No Dice initiative identified through crime mapping was there was a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week tire shop and a market out in New Orleans East that were at the epicenter of crimes of violence and drug trafficking there. Once they identified those two locations, they were able to use existing civil laws to seize the property, eliminate those hot spots, and restore safety to the community. So that tire shop and that market were in the 7th District. In 2023 to 2024, violent crime reduced after the closing of that 24-hour tire shop and that market by 47% in 2024 versus 2023. Another area in the first district identified some hot spots there. And what we experienced comparing 23's violent crime rate to 2024's violent crime rate was a 55% decrease in violent crime in the first district. So that is making a difference, and it's a non-traditional approach, but I commend the district attorney's office for what they're doing in that area, because it absolutely supports and is absolutely one of the causes that we're experiencing some of the decreases in crime.
Excuse me, no doubt. In fact, I had some folks on from the DA's office talking about No Dice, and these stats are very, very impressive. And I really do like the approach and the collaboration and the collaborative effort that he's brought about in each one of these areas. Anytime you're able to affect double-digit reductions in a very short period of time, things are working very positively. Let us switch or pivot to another issue. An ordinance proposed by Councilmember Oliver Thomas was supposed to be on the agenda today. It's been delayed until April the 10th. And they desire this to be on the ballot the same time as the primary election for the city race in October, which I think is interesting. I don't believe in coincidences. Talk to us about what he is proposing.
Okay, so what Councilman Thomas is proposing is amending the Home Rule Charter for the City of New Orleans, more particularly the Bill of Rights provisions within the Home Rule Charter. And the Home Rule Charter, Article 2, Section 6, lists nine areas in which the city needs to take every effort to prevent any discrimination against anyone on the basis of race, color, religion, or national origin. But they're adding a 10th category that they're attempting to ban, or at least Oliver is, and that is conviction histories. So Oliver, if this legislation passes, basically means that the prior criminal conviction could not be used as the basis for not hiring somebody that's applying for a position with the city. So that language, to me, kind of flies in the face of Section 9 of the Bill of Rights under the Home Rule Charter. And Section 9 of the Bill of Rights of the city's Home Rule Charter says the people have a right to a government of the highest ethical standards, free from corruption, untainted by graft, and conducted in accordance with sound fiscal planning and administration. So basically, you could be convicted of committing a crime of corruption or graft, and be hired by the city. In fact, it would be in violation of the city charter to exclude somebody based on a conviction. And I don't think that is a prudent thing to do for the reasons I'm about to talk about. One, Louisiana and the city of New Orleans have a ban-the-box provision that is already law, both in the city of New Orleans and in the state of Louisiana. So when someone is applying for a position, you cannot put on the application anymore a question about, do you have any prior convictions? Now, the fact that is not on the box, on the application, doesn't mean that a background check cannot be conducted. And in fact, all businesses usually do some form of background checks of anybody and everybody that's hired. And there are certain things that could be and should be disqualifiers for employment. But in the city of New Orleans, if this ordinance passes or if this charter amendment passes, you know, it may have some serious repercussions to public safety that I don't know if this has been thought through by everybody. So right now, if somebody is, you know, again, on the box that you're attempting to fill out an application, you don't have to disclose you've ever been arrested or convicted. But as the interview process and the application process progresses, you know, there's going to be a background check conducted. And if they determine that there is a felony conviction under the ban the box legislation that exists right now, that employers can consider the nature of the offense, the time elapsed since the conviction, and the nature of the job that is being sought. So that's, you know, some checks and balances under the legislation that has been approved both in the city of New Orleans and in the state of Louisiana. But if the amendment to the Bill of Rights is included, I think it raises some real questions about whether agencies could disqualify someone from employment based on a prior conviction. And I think a prior conviction is extremely important depending on the type of job that someone is applying for, how long ago the conviction was, is another factor. So, for example, if this passed, if the applicant was fired from his previous job for stealing and or dishonesty, but was not prosecuted or convicted, the city could review the person's prior history, work history, and disqualify them from hiring based on Section 9 of the Bill of Rights in the city. But if, you know, that same case resulted in a conviction, then that could not be factored into the hiring decision. So that really makes no sense. In other words, the conviction is the triggering offense. And really, in reality, what the employer is attempting to do is to assess someone's suitability. The best way to predict the future is to look at someone's past. So you could have somebody that's been on probation, is on probation applying for a job, is on parole applying for a job. If you are an elective office, you're seeking elective office, you have to wait 5 years under Louisiana law before you can qualify to run for a political race. If you are convicted of a crime while you are a public official, that immediately disqualifies you from being a public official. You're removed from office. So prior criminal histories are important for an employer to consider. And if this bill passes, I could see scenarios where applicants are seeking employment with NORD and they want to interact with children. And if that prior conviction is for sex offenses against children, That would be a problem. If this bill passes, if this ordinance passes, you know, could police department no longer take into consideration felony convictions before hiring a police officer? Because an officer with a conviction has no credibility in a court of law. So those are some of the consequences, not to mention that anyone that applies for a job that doesn't get that job could allege that they were discriminated against, not on the basis of merit, but because the city took into consideration his prior felony conviction. And that in itself is going to result in additional cost and litigation that the city of New Orleans will have to engage in and potentially cost the taxpayers more money with respect to civil litigation that may emerge from creating this new category in the city's whole home rule chart.
The interesting thing here is that I would love to see what evidence we're going to bring forward that this is actually necessary. right? And when you talk about all of what you, the situations and possible outcomes of this relative to jobs or recent, you know, how recent is the criminal activity, what were you actually convicted of or arrested for? All of these issues are of the utmost importance. This is a political stunt. That's all this is. This is an attempt to get this on the ballot in October to help facilitate his run for mayor. I mean, if you, everybody's got to be able to see through this, right? I mean, and in fact, it's really disappointing because we should have that ballot clear of all these other issues, and it ought to be about the mayor's race and the other races that the city is going to end up, the people that live in the city of New Orleans are going to end up voting on, as opposed to these stunts. There are timelines to get things on a ballot. I'm sure that's why this is coming up now, because things have to be resolved at some point, either by the end of June or the second week of July. I think it's by the end of June. And that's why all of this is coming up. It's just a political stunt, in my view.
Well, I share your view in this, and that's disappointing. But I'm hoping that, you know, maybe this doesn't get through the council process. Because I think that, and if it does get through the council process, I would like to think that the public now is aware of, or at least it's on their radar screen, and I'm sure if it does make it through the council and onto the ballot, that the public sees through it and makes, you know, the appropriate decision with respect to this. I believe it would be a setback and result in hiring of unqualified employees that pose a safety risk to the people of the city of New Orleans and would subject the city and taxpayers to potential unnecessary and costly litigation.
Joan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's the only reason this is brought up now. And I'm really disappointed because I asked him about, you know, whether or not, because we had two council members that are running for mayor, we've got this lame duck mayor, and the council would not engage in this type of activity. And here we are. It's not even a week after the interview. He's starting to float this piece of garbage. I mean, it's just, you know, let the games begin. I mean, I hope the folk, you know, the constituents of the city see right through this, and they see it for what it is. I mean, what did he wake up the other day with a revelation that this is absolutely necessary at this point in time? I don't think so.
I mean,
you know, why wasn't this proposed before? We just had some stuff that we voted on. Actually, it could have been on the ballot when? Like this Saturday, right?
Right.
But it wasn't.
Well, keep in mind, right? You know, the ban the box legislation that the city passed was 2018. And
yeah.
I'm sure that this was considered then. And then the state of Louisiana, when they enacted ban the box legislation, that was 2021. So, you know, this was looked into by the city in 2018, and they believe that the viable solution was the ban the box legislation, which, you know, said that you couldn't require anyone to put that on their application, and that application, that admission on that application might immediately exclude someone from consideration. So they thought that applicants should have the ability to get through the application process. But, you know, the ban the box legislation allows for and respects the fact that employers have to do background checks, and it states on the state level that employers may consider the nature of the offense, the time elapsed since the conviction, and the nature of the job sought. And that's why there are some exclusions where you don't want individuals that are going to be dealing with children get hired when they have pedophilia in their background. That's why law enforcement has to conduct criminal history checks to determine if applicants for law enforcement positions have prior felony convictions, because a prior felony conviction raises issues with the credibility of the officer. And so those are legitimate and well-recognized exceptions that the law provides, but I believe that this amendment to the city charter would jeopardize law enforcement and the city's ability to disqualify unqualified applicants for sensitive positions.
Old-time smoke and mirrors politics at its best. We'll be right back. Stay with us.